In my message for this very special day of Good Friday, I want to encourage you to have a piece of paper and a pencil, and of course your Bible handy. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 27. Sometimes the best sermons have no words. I have a book in my library filled with object lessons for children. The lessons are common household objects like buttons, balloons, spoons, to teach basic biblical truth. There are some churches that have a children's story as part of the worship service, where an adult calls the children forward to give them an object lesson based on the pastor's sermon that will follow that day. Whenever I've been in such services, it's been interesting to watch the congregation, because the adults seem to like that part of the service as much as the kids do. It's not hard to understand why. We all love a good story or an apt illustration. Well-chosen object lessons are a great way to teach spiritual truth. At the moment Jesus died on the cross, God gave us the most dramatic object lesson ever. As you listen to my message on this Good Friday, I want you to ponder several questions that I hope will make this day more significant. Write the questions down on your paper. I'll give them to you now and then repeat them in case you miss them the first time. First question: what is the profound object lesson at the moment of Jesus' death? Number two: what three spiritual truths do we learn from this divine object lesson? Number three: what is the significance for you personally? Let me repeat those questions again. What is the profound object lesson at the moment of Jesus' death? What three spiritual truths do we learn from this divine object lesson? And number three: what is the significance for you personally? Now look with me at Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 50. You see, at this point, Jesus has been crucified. He's been on the cross for 6 long hours. Later on, if you haven't already, please read the whole grueling account for yourself, what Jesus went through for you. But for the point of this message, I'm only highlighting 2 verses, verse 50 and 51. Where his suffering is coming to the end. This is what it says. When Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split. Now, well-chosen object lessons are a great way to teach spiritual truth. Such is no one dreamt such a thing could happen, and certainly no thoughtful Jewish person could miss the impact of that unprecedented event. 3 of the gospel writers record it: Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What are the 3 spiritual truths we learn from this divine object lesson? Number 1, this was a barrier removed. You see, everything about the Jewish temple reminded people to stay away. And since there were the many steps leading up to the temple itself, in part of the temple complex, there was a separate court set aside for the women and the Gentiles. Part of the complex also had the brazen altar upon which sacrifices must be made. Then, inside the temple were 2 main rooms: Holy Place and the Most Holy Place, sometimes called the Holy of Holies. Only the priest could enter the Holy Place, and only in a certain way, at certain times, to do certain prescribed religious functions. You see, no one ever just hung out in the Holy Place. You came to do God's business, and you left. It was not a place for fellowship. Important work was being done there, performed only by certain men set apart by God. The second place inside the temple was even more sacred than the holy place. It was called the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. You see, the very center of Jewish worship took place in that very small area. If you read Leviticus 16, you can find the details of it for you. But we can summarize it this way. The very center of Jewish worship took place in the most holy place. Only one man could enter the most holy place. That was the high priest. He could only enter there one day each year on the Day of Atonement. He must wear special garments. He must bring with him the blood of a goat. A very significant piece of furniture in the most holy place was the Ark of the Covenant that held a copy of the Ten Commandments. The lid of this ark was called the Golden Mercy Seat. With the blood of a goat that the high priest had brought with him, he would sprinkle the Golden Mercy Seat. If anyone other than the high priest ever dare enter the most holy place, he would be struck down dead. If the high priest entered on any day other than the Day of Atonement, he would be struck down. If the high priest came without the blood of a goat, he would be struck down. With this description, can you see that everything about the system screamed, "Stay away, stay away, stay away, do not come near. You're not qualified to come on your own." It was as if the temple itself was a giant roadblock, making sure that no one could come into God's presence uninvited. Just in case the Jews forgot about the prohibitions, or just in case they decided to take matters into their own hands, God had ordered that a thick curtain be hung that would separate the holy place from the most holy place. When we think of a curtain, imagine something like the living room drapes. But the curtain in the temple was nothing like that. Exodus 26:31 describes it as a curtain of blue, purple, scarlet yarn, finely twisted linen, with cherubim worked into it by a skilled craftsman. Jewish writers say that it was 60 feet high, 20 feet wide, woven to the thickness of 9 centimeters, about the size of a man's hand. The curtain was so heavy, it took, listen to this, 300 men to lift it up. Such a curtain could never be torn in two by the hands of a man. Only God could tear apart a curtain like that. That's why Matthew tells us that the curtain was torn from top to bottom, signifying that God had done what only God could do. What does the tearing of the curtain mean? Not only a barrier had been removed, but, number two, a road was opened. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20 says this, "We have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body." The words "we have" speak of privilege. The dictionary defines privilege as an advantage held by one person or a group of people, an opportunity to do something special or enjoyable. It's a great privilege to be a Christian because we have certain advantages given to us by God. Hebrews 10, verse 19 says that we have the right to enter God's presence directly. And I've often wondered what it would be like to gain audience with the Queen of England. You know, to enter those fabled halls of Buckingham Palace. To be escorted by the royal guards with their spangled uniforms. To sit in the inner chamber and be greeted by the Queen. To have her say, "What can I do for you?" And to know she has the power to grant my request. Meeting the Queen would indeed be a great privilege. But it's not likely to happen. queen is a very important person. I used to come there. I live in Canada on the other side of the pond. I do not have the standing in any sense to gain audience with the Queen of England. That privilege does not belong to me. But friends, in the eyes of God, I have standing through the blood of Jesus to enter the throne room of heaven. That's what Hebrews 10 means when it says that Jesus opened up a way for us through the curtain. By his death on the cross, God tore down the wall that stood between himself and us. Now we can go directly to God anytime, as long as we go in the name of Jesus, claiming nothing but his blood is the only grounds for admission. If you are a Christian, you have standing through the blood of Jesus to enter the throne room of heaven. Compared to the old system that kept people out, this is truly a new way. Because Jesus rose from the dead, it is a living way. I am personally a friend of God's own Son. I'm a member of God's own family. I'm a citizen of heaven. That gives me standing, advantage, entrance, and privilege. And this standing is given to every blood-bought child of God. It's not for me alone. This is God's gift to those who have put their faith and trust in his Son. We have the privilege of an audience with God himself. Anytime, anywhere, as often as we like. I found a list on the internet of the most influential people in the world. It is names like Pope Francis, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Angela Merkel, Warren Buffett, Mike Pence, and Justin Trudeau, and a host of people I've never heard of. I didn't bother to look for my name on that list because it's not there. No problems. No worries. I freely confess that the folks on that list have advantages from an earthly standpoint I will never have. Rank does have its privileges. When they talk, everyone listens. They can go where I can't go. They have access to the best of everything this world offers. Things like tickets to a sold-out event, the best seats in the finest restaurants, room in any hotel in the world. Their every word is quoted in the press. That's how the world rolls. And I say, no problem, no worries. Through the blood of Jesus, I have instant access to the throne room of God. That means I can come anytime, anywhere, as often as I like, for any reason at all. My Heavenly Father will not turn me away. It's wonderful to have that kind of access. We have an all-access pass as a Christian to the throne room of the universe. Now here's the amazing part. We have rights greater than those the world counts on as very important people. They may get insider tips and tickets to the best Broadway shows. We have an all-access pass to the throne room of the universe. Friends, it doesn't get better than that. What is another advantage to the torn curtain in the temple? Number three, we have a hope confirmed. Not only is there a barrier removed and a road opened, but the tearing of the curtain means that our hope of eternal life has been confirmed by Almighty God himself. Hebrews chapter 6, 19 and 20 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever. These verses declare in plain language, we have an anchor for our soul that cannot be moved. A large ship has an enormous anchor to hold it in place when the storms roll in. An anchor that holds only in fair weather would not be of much use. An anchor proves its worth when the sea and the wind threaten to move the ship out of the harbor. In order to hold the ship in place, the anchor must be firmly lodged in the ocean floor, the anchor rests on sand, it will not hold the ship in place. Hebrews 6 says that our anchor is firm because it is lodged behind the curtain in the very presence of God. We have an anchor that cannot be moved. The Lord Jesus, who is our high priest, opened the way into the very presence of God. Because he cannot be moved, we cannot be moved. Back in 1834, Edward Mote wrote the words of a poem that became a beloved gospel song. First verse, the solid rock, goes like this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. The second verse uses words borrowed from Hebrews chapter 6. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. And the chorus declares the glorious truths in words both simple and profound. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Friends, that's good news for all who struggle with the sense of their own weakness and failure. If Christ is the anchor of our soul, then we can rest well because our anchor can hold against any storm. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So the road to heaven is open to anyone, anytime, anywhere, who's willing to put their faith and trust in Jesus alone for their salvation. The cross reveals the great heart of God, and that heart is filled with love. When Jesus died, the Father preached a sermon without words when he tore the curtain in two from top to the bottom. It was God's way of saying, you're welcome to come into my family. Come. Repent of your sin. Make Good Friday personal for you and believe that Jesus' death on the cross was for you. The curtain was torn to give you complete access into Christ if you recognize you're a sinner and you're sorry for your sins. Christian, why not give thanks for God's great gift to you? And let's share it whenever and wherever we can. God bless you.